Scores of people, of course, turn to online dating via dating apps or social media in the hope of finding the one. But just how safe is it? A quick search online will reveal a number of stories where somebody looking for love didn't fare well, and in some cases even lost their life. Right here in Cape Town, the Cape Town Magistrates Court is dealing with a case involving alleged members of a Nigerian criminal gang called Black Axe, who are apparently fighting extradition to the States after being arrested in Parklands for romance scams targeting women across the world. The FBI says that a common narrative used by the group for romance scams involves the purported online love interest travelling to Cape Town to work on a construction project and then requesting that the victim send phones or tablets or laptop computers to South Africa after purportedly being mugged. Victims were also told that the purported online love interest needs a loan to pay for repairs at a faulty crane at a construction site, or to pay for legal fees. All this sort of thing. One woman in the UK, known only as Lynn, told her story to police. Let's take a listen.
I was involved in a romance fraud. It started on Facebook, on a widow's website, a widow's group that I joined. And this guy I got talking to, he lived in Manchester, but he worked away a lot, digging for minerals for this business of his that he owned. We got talking and we had loads of banter. And he was a widow, so I thought, oh, we've got something in common. The pain I'm feeling, he's feeling the same. And it just went on from there. And then about 4 months into the relationship, there was an accident that had happened over in Dubai where he was working. And 6 of his employees got injured. He had all these hospital bills to pay. So he said, would I help him with them? So he said, I'll pay you the money back with interest. Don't worry about the money. Then the hotel was going to chuck him out. Could I pay his hotel bill? And it just went on and on from there. And then eventually I'd ran out of money. So he then said, I'll get my business partners to transfer money to you through my secretary. And then if you can transfer it through Bitcoin to me. So that's what I was doing. And until the Cheshire police come knocking on my door, I knew nothing about it. I didn't have an inkling. He was a scammer at all. He used to ring me up at least once, maybe twice a week on the phone. Sounded very genuine. They know what to ask and they know what to tell you, what you want to hear, that you'd only hear from your husband and what have you. And then they kind of reel you in. And then you're into this relationship and they keep promising to come over and meet up. And you keep sending the money out.
That is just one victim of an online dating scam known only as Lynn, who told her story to police in the UK. To discuss online dating safety and whether indeed apps are doing enough to keep us safe, I'm joined by cyber security specialist Sean Picardo. Very good morning to you, Sean. Good to have you with us and thanks for making time for us this Sunday morning. Cases like Lynn's, as we just heard there, how widespread do you think they are?
Well, a very good morning to you, Sarah. I'm not going to lie. I really enjoyed the past 10 minutes listening to you. And I'm definitely a fan and will be tuning in every Sunday from now on. It's almost like you're speaking what I'm thinking.
Right.
Yeah. Like, your thoughts and everything, it was just lovely. And it's definitely a pleasure to just be on your show. So I think, you've obviously touched on a couple of issues and matters, and we obviously heard the lady in terms of, you know, what happened to her. So I think key things that we should outline when it comes to online dating scams, which is a very, lucrative thing at the moment, because we obviously are living more online than we used to. COVID obviously accelerated that, right? So now people are actually more digitally inclined and more digitally sort of aligned in terms of what they do with their life, online shopping, online everything, right? So now what that caused, it meant that people then saw an opportunity to be able to solicit whatever they can do online, because that's where people are. And online, everything is connected online. Your money is connected online. Your information is connected online. Everything about you is actually right there. So with online dating scams, then it becomes a lucrative thing to be able then to mine people and to be able to solicit whatever you want to solicit from them, because they're right there. They are vulnerable and they are looking for love, because we're still human. Everyone wants to be loved and everyone is looking for love. But now, because we're digitally inclined, so we are digitally looking for people to have only friendships with. Also, we're looking for people to just have companionship with. So that makes it very lucrative for people to then say, okay, cool, we will put up our profiles and we will mine these people and actually offer ourselves as the eligible bachelors, and then be able to then get them to a vulnerable place that we can solicit whatever we want to solicit from them.
So, Sean, are these people targeting specific people? Because there are some people, of course, you know, who are genuinely going online because they are looking for a relationship, or they're looking for a hookup or whatever, and they're out there and they're pretty savvy to this. But there are other people, like, I mean, for Lynn, for example, from what she saw, she was specifically on, well, what's so abhorrent to me about that example is that she was specifically on a Facebook group for people who'd been widowed. So you're already dealing with somebody who is vulnerable, they've lost love, and the fact that these people are able to go in there and target people who are so vulnerable is foul. So who are they typically targeting?
Exactly what you just said. They're looking for older people that are potentially widowed, potentially retired, potentially probably never been in a companionship, because those people are not only financially viable because they retired, they have some cash. The whole premise of this thing, Sarah, is because we need to get some money. So you need to get victims that have money. So the reason they're not targeting a 25-year-old is because the 25-year-old doesn't have money. But a 50-year-old is probably retired, or a 60-year-old is probably retired, or the husband passed away and then she got some, you know, life cover and all that kind of information. So that's what happens. So they're typically looking for people that are widowed, because you're widowed because then you are firstly vulnerable, which is the entry point. That's the most important thing. I need you to be vulnerable. Because if you're not vulnerable, then you are very logical. You can see what I'm trying to do. So I need you to be gazed. I need a gaze. I need you to want something. And that's my entry point. So online dating scams are very emotional. They're not technical. It's not like getting a phishing email. It's not like getting a link and then you press on that link. It's a dance. I need to look at you and see you on the other side of the room and say, okay, you've got a nice red dress, or you're alone. Okay, let me come closer. That's what it is. So I need to see you, and I need to see what your profile says. Your profile says, oh, miss my husband, and we've been together for 35 years. Right. Oh, okay, cool. So it's a widow, definitely has some money because she probably has left some money. Okay, so then I come in, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Hi, Sarah, how are you doing? I'm fine. Okay, cool. You're probably lonely. Okay, cool. I'm John. I'm John Baptiste from Italy. And then you're like, okay, cool. Hi, John. Because you've got the time, you're lonely, and you're vulnerable. Then it's a dance. And to get to a point where I can then say, listen, I've got a problem.
So I want to zone in on that part, Sean, because the fact of the matter is, if you both swiped right, okay, you've got Lynn. We'll call her Lynn now, because that was, you've got Lynn on the one hand. She swipes right. John swipes right. John has got to be, as the scammer, he's got to be savvy enough to know he can't just jump in there and start asking Lynn for money. Essentially, there's got to be a grooming process, right? He's got to make sure that Lynn trusts him. He's got to make sure that Lynn thinks he's legit. So presumably there can be quite a long lead up before money is even mentioned. You've got to establish the connection. And I'm just wondering, at what point should the red flags go up? Like, what do we need to be looking out for? If I'm Lynn, how can I, before I've even got to the point where somebody's asking me for money, I know that psychologists talk about love bombing, like this kind of excessive declarations of love very early, lots of compliments, lots of, oh, isn't that a coincidence? We both love Michael Bolton, for example. You know, all of that sort of stuff. When should our little sensors be going up that something might not be what it seems?
So the first point is, like I mentioned, it's a dance. It takes a while. I have to look at you, and I have to look at my victim, and I have to draw you, and I have to get you to a point that you're vulnerable. But the biggest red flag, right, and this is how I test people that are trying to scam me on a daily. So I literally go, I've got scams coming in from Instagram. I've got scams coming in on my WhatsApp. I've got scams coming in on my email. That's how rampant online scamming is, right? So the biggest red flag when it comes to online dating, one, just the biggest, if you just take one thing that says, okay, I need to rethink this, is when money is involved. The second that there is a monetary thing, oh no, I've got a problem. Can you? If there's money involved, you need to sit down and say, okay, let me review this whole thing. Yes, we got a connection. Yes, it's amazing. But there's money involved here now. Why must I send money to this person? Because that's the ultimate goal of online scamming. They don't like you. They want money. So the sooner there's money involved in terms of dating, then you leave it. Even if you guys have met, we can meet. You can actually go into Tinder, you swipe right, you swipe right, and you meet up, and you see this guy tall, dark, and handsome. The moment there is money involved, and it's not authentic, it doesn't seem like something that's authentic, then you probably need to read.
So I want to delve into that a little bit more, the authenticity, because that's where people are getting, that's where the scam is happening. So what should, if I'm new to online dating, what would be something that signals to me that the person I'm dealing with is who they are, is who they say they are? I just keep thinking, my friend was showing me these pictures the other day on a dating app, and she said also that some of them look like AI, it doesn't look real. But she said, you know, she will only swipe right, she'll only swipe right where there are other people in the picture. So you can see, right, this isn't just somebody alone in his, you know, in his house, that there are other people who can kind of, I guess, who can justify who he is, who can authenticate him. That there is, if somebody has a very, very closed profile, she's like, I'm not getting involved. If they haven't written anything about themselves, I'm not getting involved, because that's where it happens. What would be some of the things that you think people need to be looking out for? How can you tell somebody is more likely to be authentic?
Sarah, the internet, you can be anything you want to be.
Oh Lord,
it's not real. It's not real, and that's the security safety of it. Because I literally can be verified and create an email and then go on Tinder and take whoever's picture, and Tinder will verify me because they just need to verify my email. They need to verify where I stay. I can literally create a profile.
Right.
It's not.
So you're no safer swiping on people who verified their profiles. Wow.
As a traditional thinker, personally, if you ask me personally, I'll tell you that just go outside, have coffee, and meet someone.
I'm also along those lines.
Leave online.
But I agree.
But the reality is, people are online and they're sitting in their houses and they want to meet people. So I would say, okay, cool. You navigate that space, but you just need to be very wary while doing it. Wary of one or two or three things, key things. Don't share too much information about yourself.
Got you. Yep.
Very important, because the reason why I can say that you're a victim as a person that is going to obviously scam you is that I need to have information about you. I need to know that your husband passed away. I need to know how old you are. I need to know where you stay. I need to know what your lifestyle is.
Yeah.
You give me that information, unfortunately. So the victims actually give the information to these guys, and the guys say, okay, cool, thank you, nice. Let's put you here, and then we'll work on you. Let's dance.
Yeah.
Let's get some money out of you. Because they don't know that information. They're sitting right here in Parklands, and they're in a big mansion there. There's freaking 50 of them sitting there just mining people and looking at people's profiles. They're, okay, cool.
Is that what it is? I mean, is that what it is, as in people are treating this like a full-time job?
I remember two years ago, I did an interview, I think, with SABC.
Yeah.
The FBI had in table view. The FBI had busted two guys who were involved in online scamming that was worth $200 million.
Sure. Sure.
$200 million. At the current moment, right, in 2021, if I'm just giving you some stats, the FBI had about 24,000 cases, and those cases were potentially resulting to $1 billion. That's a lot of money that people are soliciting from people from just dating. That's it. We're not talking about all the other scams.
Sure.
So, which it is a problem, but it means that people are not going to stay away from the digital platforms.
Yeah, you're
right.
That's
fine. That's the reality. But I think people just need to be much more cognizant. I get calls from my aunt's friends going, she got scammed. She's in Joburg. She got scammed 50,000 rand by a pastor that has a big church. I'm like, how do you give a guy 50,000 rand?
Yeah.
No, because they've been chatting for 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy. I'm like, come on, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose that's the thing is that people's reactions are, but why would you give the money and why? And I think, again, it's about putting yourself in someone else's position. By the time that the money conversation has even come up, as far as you, the victim, are concerned, you're in a relationship. So it's not out of the realms of possibility. It's a relationship. It's not out of the realms of possibility that somebody might need some help or they might need this. And also people so desperately want it to be true, don't they? They so desperately want to not feel lonely anymore or to feel like they've met somebody or to not feel that they've been duped. I can see how easily it can happen. In terms of the responsibility that we place on Facebook, Tinder, Hinge, or all the rest of it. I mean, what are they? I know that you have these things where it's a verified profile, but you've basically poo-pooed them, and so then it's not really worth the paper that it's written on. Are they doing enough to protect us, and what should the remit of their responsibility be?
So they definitely are aware of what's happening, and obviously this whole phenomenon of online scamming. So they've put measures in place. I know Tinder's got a very robust sort of community and support where you can report whatever, and they've got access to your messages. So they've got sight of what's happening on the platform, and should you feel uncomfortable, you definitely just, it's a button away, or you just report, and that person will obviously be looked into, and then they can obviously be taken off the app. But, you know, Facebook has a verification process where, you know, you've got 2FA or two-factor authentication where you can, you know, log into your account and whatnot. But these people still live in these apps.
Yeah.
Because to verify this, you need an email address and you need to verify that this is you. So, yes, the measures are there, but the measures are not really going to keep you safe. So you need to be safe as the person in these platforms. The platform is just an additional sort of security feature that you have. But you, as you're navigating into the space, and not just dating, just as you're navigating as a parent, as you're navigating as an employee, as you're navigating as just a human in life,
yep.
You just need to be cognizant of everything that you do.
This is why I never put my kids on. This is why. And I know that people message in and say, SJ, why don't we ever see your beautiful children online? Because there are maniacs out there. That's why. There's no other reason. You will never see my children online. It's not happening. Don't ask to see them. That's it. That's it. It's not happening. I just want to get to a few of the messages. If you're just joining us this morning, we're talking to cybersecurity specialist Sean Picardi, who is helping us out talking about protecting yourself in the online dating sphere. We all want to find love, of course we do, and a lot of us choose to do that by going on to the various dating apps. But we also hear horror stories, and they are not an exception. They are prevalent, and we're hearing that. You only need to have a look online. There's a case of this gang, the so-called Black Axe Gang, who were targeting people. They were arrested in Parklands. They're a Nigerian criminal gang. They're fighting extradition to the US at the moment. The FBI is involved. Big money. We're talking big money. Sean was saying, you know, $200 million. Hi, SJ. Fascinating topic, online dating. How many men are scammed? We hear of women so frequently. Is it as prolific with men being scammed? I'm going to stick my neck out and say, Sean, it is.
I don't know. That's actually such a good question.
It's got to be. Come on.
That's an amazing question.
I think it is, for sure.
And I'm thinking, I've never really heard of men being scammed.
Oh, no, I have. I have a lot. Because you know what? And people might come for me a little bit for this, but if you're... I find, in my experience of, I've got to be so careful what I say. A few years ago when I lived in Joburg and I was doing the Tinder thing, right? This is no secret. A few years ago, lived in Joburg, I was doing the Tinder thing. And I would swipe, I'd be swiping right. And the number of people, this sounds really awful because it's bigging myself up a little bit. But sometimes there would be sort of older, perhaps much older gentlemen, maybe... Oh, gosh. Well, how do I say this without sounding like I'm being terribly rude? But you know where you are on the scale, right? You know if you're a 10 or you know if you're a 6. Do you agree, Sean? Like, realistically?
Everyone is fully aware.
Everyone's fully aware. I'm not coming out here as, you know, saying I'm a 10. I know I'm not a 10, but I also know I'm not a 2, right? This is such an awkward conversation, but I think it's important.
So you're an 8. Cool.
I was before the children ruined me. Yeah. So let's say an 8, right? So then I would swipe at fellow 8s. But I would sometimes find that maybe a 6 had swiped. And I think, God, okay. But in my experience, gents, and good for you on this, gents, you know, that they'll shoot their shot, sometimes punching above their weight. Oh, people are just sitting at home going, you fancy yourself a bit, SJ. But you know what I mean. So this is why I think...
Do you think they would have the guts
that's what I'm
to come and shoot the shot?
No, probably not. probably not. But my point being, if you are an 8 and a banging 10 swipes right, you might not necessarily, depending on who you are, think, hold on a minute. See, I would. If somebody who is clearly a 10 and he's a millionaire and he's posing on a yacht and he says that, you know, he's the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, my red flags are going up. Because what do you want if I were available? What do you want with a 43-year-old mother of two? That would be my question. You know, a slightly overweight 43-year-old mother of two. The odds don't match up. We're not in the same ballpark. If you're saying, I spend my life travelling, and I'm saying, I spend my life, you know, changing nappies and doing the school run.
Everyone is a hiker.
Right?
Everyone loves hiking.
I can't bear it. I can't bear it, Sean. Everyone loves hiking. They're all hiking. Yeah, it's unbearable. So I just think some people, I think it's entirely possible that gents would be catfished. Somebody else saying, hi, SJ, I've just been talking to a friend who has some experience here. It seems all the communications seem to only be in text. The scammer doesn't want to talk because a high percentage of the time the accent doesn't match the person's portrait. This person could never get the candidates to chat, says Pippi. Hi, SJ. Women need to be aware that 99% of us are not the exception with a rule. How do you know? Well, if the flattery is not in line with the truth, says Ruth, says Rita. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about, Rita. Yeah. It's, you know, you've got to have eyes on yourself. You've got to be realistic about where you are. And is it possible that, you know, a Fortune 500 multimillionaire who hikes every day and doesn't have any children.
And has got a six pack.
And has got a six pack and a yacht and a Lambo is going to be interested in, you know, in 43-year-old overweight SJ from Plumstead. Probably. probably not. 2D says, what I'm interested to know, again, another question, do these scams apply the other way around in that women lure men into such traps? I'm sure they do.
I think, to answer that question, I actually think we do get scammed. But the problem, or well, the good thing, or maybe not a good thing, about men is that men don't really talk about their problems. So if a man got scammed, he would not go out and be like, oh my God,
I
got scammed, whatever.
It's an
L for him, it's a lose. You'll just kick it on the chin and quietly just move along.
I agree.
You know, I think they get scammed quite a lot. I think they actually get scammed on a daily, in fact, not even just online.
They meet
people in a restaurant, they meet people, and then, you know, girls are like, okay, are you going to buy stuff for me? And,
can I tell you something? I remember watching a few years ago, this thing on catfishing on Dr. Phil. Yes, I know. And it blew my mind. So you had, similar to Lynn, who we heard from at the start of the conversation, an older widowed woman who had gone online and she'd met this guy and he'd sent her a picture and he was in the US Army. Very, very good looking, you know, really looked the part. They had this long relationship over, and I'm saying relationship, you know, using air quotes, over almost 2 years. She basically ended up sending him or giving him all of her money. She sold her house, and eventually her children brought her on to Dr. Phil to say, please, you have to tell my mum she's being catfished. When they did a deeper dive into this situation, they discovered that she'd been catfished to the nth degree. This was a group of Nigerian scammers, literally in Lagos. They traced it. They traced these people. They traced an address to somewhere in Lagos where a group of men were sitting, as you say, and doing this scam, to the point where they then found the true identity of this man the photograph was a legitimate person, but they traced who it was, and they brought him onto stage to say, my dear, I have not been having a conversation with you. We have never met. My photograph got taken from the US Navy or Army website or whatever it was. I'm so sorry.
I remember seeing that episode.
Do you remember seeing that episode? Even when the man who was in the photograph said to this woman, it's not me, she wouldn't believe it. She was so caught up in the scam. She'd been so brainwashed, essentially. It was very sad to watch. She could not believe it. So if people are sitting there going, but how does this happen? It's because people are grooming people, and they're grooming vulnerable people. Somebody saying elderly men are targeted by scammers pretending to be young widowed caregiver type. Yes. For example, a teacher or a nurse who is struggling financially. Someone else saying definitely heard of elderly men being catfished in exactly the same way by a scammer pretending to be a woman. Sean, it's a jungle out there, isn't it? I'm with you. I think you know, go to your local Pick and Pay and maybe bump into somebody in the queue.
I'll tell you a fun fact.
Yeah, go on.
Let me leave you with a fun fact.
Go on.
Or a homework for you to do, right? Maybe listeners as well.
Yeah.
You realize if you go to the promenade and if you go to your chemist bay and just go to the beach,
yeah,
so a lot of nice, flashy cars, right?
Yeah.
Some Lambos,
yeah.
Very nice colors, some yellow, some orange, beautiful cars,
yeah.
Some Bentleys.
Yeah.
Where do those people work? They don't own companies.
Right. Oh, you mean these are the scammers?
Yes.
Yo, that's wild, hey?
You don't see them waking up in the morning and going to work like all of us.
No, you're right.
But apparently he's going to drive past you when you're coming back from work with his orange Lamborghini. Bright orange. And he's a 30-year-old young man. And you're like, young man, how did you get this Lambo at 30?
Yeah.
I've been working for 50 years.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
And that young man is not waking up any time in the morning. Sure. So they actually have such huge syndicates in your Parklands, Table View. You see the houses, double-story houses. There's Bentleys parked outside. It's literally like a mine. It's so big. The operation is enormous. If the FBI is here all the time.
Wow.
the FBI lives in South Africa, and they're just going after these guys because they literally are going America, UK, a little bit of South Africa, because South Africa doesn't really have a lot of money. But
sure.
Once they're going UK, they're going UK, South Africa. It's happening. The operation is happening right in front of us. We've seen the Lamborghini.
Yeah, unbelievable. Sean, I've really enjoyed. Yeah, I'm gonna. I'll be on the lookout now, certainly, and I'll give them a wide berth the next time they're hooting at me and saying, "Come on, SJ, come jump in. You're just what I've been looking for." I'll say no. Sean Pagado said I mustn't. Sean, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Great to have you on the show this morning. Sean Pagado is a cybersecurity specialist, talking in somewhat lightheartedly, but also with a serious undertone of really being careful out there, because there are ruthless scammers out there who are preying on the vulnerable. It's 8:43.